Racial injustice is a scourge on this nation, and the Black community has felt it for generations. We have an obligation to do something about it. Whether it's canceling student debt, increasing the minimum wage, or investing in Black-owned businesses, the Black community deserves so much better. I'm Nina Turner, and I'm running for Congress to do something about it.
Welcome to the Politocrat. I am Omar Moore. It is Tuesday, July the 20th, 2021. On this edition of the Politocrat, 33 years ago today, the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. giving a famed speech. I actually think it's one of the five best speeches ever given by an American running for office or as a politician. I really think it's that good. I'm going to play for you on this episode an excerpt from that speech and talk about Reverend Jesse Jackson right after this. Welcome back. I hope your Tuesday has been fruitful and eventful thus far, and that you continue to have a good week and that you are in reasonably good spirits. You know, it's very difficult. You know, I've been talking about some things and you've been experiencing some things that have been difficult and challenging. And obviously, these last 16 months have been just that. And not only in regard to COVID-19, whatever else is going on in your life that may present some difficulty or obstacle for you. I hope that things do get better if that applies to you, dear listener. And I think that, I just think that we will continue to push through, but it's going to take some time. All of this, whether it's COVID-19 or anything else, we are going to have to continue to wear masks. And obviously the vaccinations we have to get and make sure that we are fully vaccinated. But it's the mask wearing that I think is also very important as well. So both of those things. Doesn't matter whether you're vaccinated or not. Obviously the first thing to do is to get vaccinated. And then the next thing to do is to make sure that you are wearing a mask. And whether you're about to be vaccinated or have been vaccinated or won't be vaccinated, a mask is going to be really critical here because it does help reduce the transmission of this virus. It really does. So, you know, there's I want to play this for you. I'll play it for you perhaps. If not in this episode, I'll play it in the episode for tomorrow. Some audio that will make you really think about what this virus does to people. And you already know what it does, but to hear it from someone rather than hear it from me, who's told you, and I've told you, and you know this as well, because I'm sure that there are people that you know who've come down with this virus, perhaps you might have done as well. But rather than hear from yours truly talking about people that I know who have come down with this virus, I've definitely thought it would be a better idea to have you hear from someone who actually has it. And I may play that in this episode or maybe tomorrow. But the point is that I want to make sure that the focus is still on the fact, at least part of the focus, is still on the fact that we have a pandemic going on. And it's going on here, there, and everywhere, all across the globe. So let's not forget that. I know some people are behaving as if this pandemic is over, but it is far from over. I want to move on to Jesse Jackson, the Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. Now, Jesse Jackson Sr., as you may know, has Parkinson's. and has been struggling through that for the last few years now. I think it's been 3 years or so since he announced this. It could have been a little bit less than that, but he has been obviously slowed by this disease, which there is no cure for at this moment. And this is someone who, in his peak, at his peak, was one of the great orators of the 20th century. That is no exaggeration. He had a commanding tone to him, an impassioned delivery and appeal that sent shudders and sent inspiration and a lot of tears through an audience if they listened and when they listened to him. And if you ever listened to him when he was in his prime, whether it was in the 60s or the 70s or 80s into the 90s, and even into the earlier part of this 21st century, you would really know what it is to be in a room when Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. is speaking. It's earth-shaking. Because he appeals to your sense of justice and your sense of righteousness. And the reason I'm talking about Reverend Jesse Jackson, he is, of course, the founder of the Rainbow Coalition and was one of the devisors of Operation Breadbasket, definitely a participant in that from back in the day. And you know, and you may not know, but I'm going to tell you now, Reverend Jackson was one of the most trusted lieutenants of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And of course, as you may know or may not know, but I will tell you now, Jesse Jackson Sr. was on that balcony at the Lorraine Motel in 1968, on the date of April 4th, when the man that he really was the one of the right-hand men of was assassinated, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. He was right there, and Jesse Jackson gave these absolutely palpable interviews not too long after that horror that happened to our country on April the 4th, 1968, with the assassination of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. And it was one of the most incredible things. If you go back and either listen or watch that interview, and I'm sure it's on YouTube, it's just stunning. And the visceral nature of how what happened to King happened and the way that Reverend Jackson was conveying it to the media, it was just, it really got to you and got to you deeply. So Reverend Jackson has been a force in the United States and in United States politics and the arena of politics and for many, many decades now. And the other thing is that people forget this. He went to try to free hostages, and he was successful in doing that over the objections of a president that I won't name at this moment, but he went and helped free some hostages. He brokered an agreement, did Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., back in the day, and he did that, and he got the release of hostages. I believe it was from Iran at the time. And he went as a negotiator, and by the way, against the wishes of the United States government, and did this brokering of an agreement to help get hostages home. Americans who were held hostage in Iran, I believe. Again, I'm not 100% sure. But he helped get United States citizens free. And he returned to the United States with them. They returned on a plane with Reverend Jackson. And that got poo-pooed by a lot of people in politics, and it got diminished in the media, in the corporate news media. And there are people in the Democratic Party who tried to marginalize Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. and tried to play down and downplay his effectiveness in getting Americans who were held hostage abroad home. And he was literally marginalized for doing something that should have been celebrated, and it certainly was lauded by those people that he helped to get freed. But he was playing peace envoy, and he was one, he is one. And he's a justice envoy, and he's a, you know, goodwill envoy. And, you know, of course, he's been through ups and downs in his personal life, and he's certainly done some things in his personal life that, you know, well, you know, I'm, you know, people do things in their personal lives. I'm not going to necessarily make a judgment on each and every one. I will on some of these individuals who should get a judgment on them from yours truly and from you. But when someone has done so much good, and I'm not excusing the things that some of the things that aren't so good in Reverend Jackson's personal life, I'm definitely not. I'm not a fan of that. But I'm simply saying that there's a lot more good in Reverend Jackson than not. And that's not an excuse for any behaviors. But I am only saying this because Reverend Jackson, you know, he's an American hero in a great many senses. And I know that people throw that term around a lot. But for Reverend Jackson, it certainly applies. And today is the 33rd year anniversary of the superb speech that Reverend Jackson delivered at the Omni Arena. Yes, that's what it was called back in the day, the Omni Arena in Atlanta. I don't think the Omni Arena exists anymore. And if it does, none of the male professional sports teams play in it because Atlanta has a new arena. And I mean, excuse me, as far as I know, the Hawks play there and a number of other, but it's not the Omni anymore. But the point is that back on July the 20th, 1988, in his second run for president, his second go-around, his sequel, if you will, Reverend Jackson running for the Democratic presidential nomination and, of course, ultimately the White House, gave this marvelous speech, this marvelously crafted speech, at the Democratic National Convention. Now, he ran twice. He ran in 1984 in a remarkably superb campaign where, you know, he captured the imagination of many people in the U.S. He came in, I think, a strong third place finish. And his message of progressive politics, his message of justice and freedom and moral clarity, and the appeals to the humaneness in people was one of the driving forces. And his openness about wanting better for the country and not saying make things great, because as I've said before, that's finite stuff. Better implies that you're trying to keep moving forward and improving. And that's different from incrementalism. But what I'm trying to say here is that Reverend Jesse Jackson acquitted himself very well in 1984 and then acquitted himself very well again in 1988, finishing second this time in the 1988 race, a second place finish to Michael Dukakis, who would then in turn get his head handed to him at the general election by George H.W. Bush. If you remember back that far, Dukakis got throttled in that presidential election that year in 1988. And the other thing about that presidential election, by the way, is the Willie Horton ads, which really were used by George H.W. Bush. He certainly didn't do anything to really disown those ads, even though he himself didn't make those ads. There was some kind of pack. Well, there weren't packs back then, but there was some kind of third party that was supporting George H.W., and they made these ads. And, you know, again, George H.W. didn't do a whole heck of a lot to disown them. I mean, well, you know, they still kept running. But anyway, the point is that 1988, Reverend Jesse Jackson was a very strong second place finish. And he gave this speech was absolutely scintillating. I'm not going to play all of it. I'm not going to play all of it, but I am going to play a few minutes, 6 or 7 minutes, and 6 or 7 minutes. And this is the same portion, or much of this, was also played, and I should say this, to give him credit for it, Roland Martin, who I've talked about often here, who has a very good show Mondays through Fridays on YouTube and on Twitter and Periscope. Well, Periscope's no longer around, really, is it? On Twitter and YouTube and Facebook, I believe, and Instagram. And you've got to watch that show from 6 p.m. Eastern to 8 p.m. Eastern U.S. time. And on today's show, you know, there was an airing of a part of the speech, which I'm also going to play here. So I want to thank Roland Martin in advance for doing this, for actually putting this out there, because I didn't know that the anniversary was today. In fact, he didn't know either until I looked at the timestamp. Well, I knew it when I looked at the timestamp of the video of the audio that you are about to hear. And you could see it since 7/20/88. And I said, well, I'll be damned, you know? And then Roland Martin afterwards, he says that he, you know, he said that he didn't realize that today was the day, the 33-year anniversary. And so that just seemed to be something else going on in the ether, if you will. That he didn't realize that it just happened to be the 33-year anniversary of that speech. And he didn't know that when he picked out the speech to play on his show. So that should tell you something. Reverend Jackson is still here with us, thankfully. And while he is not in the sharp place that he was once in, he is still here, and that's something that we can be grateful for. And the other thing to also acknowledge here is that today in France, now, of course, this probably didn't even get covered in your corporate news media here in the United States, but in France, today, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. was given the one of the highest honors that you can receive, and it's the French Legion of Honor Medal. And it was given to him by the French president, Emmanuel Macron. And Macron, in a ceremony, spoke very highly of Reverend Jesse Jackson. He pretty much, he should have been there at one point, shouldn't he? Reverend Jesse Jackson, Senior. And Macron was waxing poetic about the great things that Reverend Jackson has done and continues to do. And the thing is that as I was listening to some of that, and I don't have the audio for it, but as I was listening to it, I'm thinking, goodness gracious me, I don't think that people here in the United States give Reverend Jackson the kind of credit that the French President Emmanuel Macron was giving him today. And I don't think he's ever got that kind of commendation and respect and credit from Americans and from American politicians. But lo and behold, there he was in France today, getting all of this respect from the French President Emmanuel Macron. And Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. had put, well, had his had the Legion of Honor Medal put around him, and he thanked President Macron, who promptly kissed him on both cheeks, which, of course, that is something that you do in France. And it was just a really nice gesture from President Macron to do that, to award this honor to Jesse Jackson, and recognizing Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr.'s accomplishments and what he's done for so many, many people, countless people, many, many. So that was one thing that was the impetus for this. And a Roland Martin show was the impetus for this episode. So I want to say thank you, Roland. I mean, I had two other things that I was going to be doing an episode about, but I may have to push those back. Two of them are fairly clear. One of them especially is, which I may get to tomorrow. But I do want to, because of the fact that Reverend Jackson made this speech exactly 33 years ago today, on July the 20th, 1988, I am compelled to play this excerpt that you are about to hear. Here now is Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. at the Democratic National Convention, with his second place finish to Michael Dukakis that year, speaking at the Omni before a packed house.
And then, choir children, young America, hold your head high now. We can win. We must not lose you to drugs and violence, premature pregnancy, suicide, cynicism, pessimism and despair. We can win. Wherever you are tonight, I challenge you to hope and to dream. Don't submerge your dreams. Exercise above all else. Even on drugs, dream of the day you're drug free. Even in the gutter, dream of the day that you'll be up on your feet again. You must never stop dreaming. Face reality, yes, but don't stop with the way things are. Dream of things as they ought to be. Dream. Face pain. But love, hope, faith, and dreams will help you rise above the pain. Use hope and imagination as weapons of survival and progress. But you keep on dreaming, young America. Dream of peace. Peace is rational and reasonable. War is irrational in this age and unwinnable. Dream of teachers who teach for life and not for living. Dream of doctors who are concerned more about public health than private wealth. Dream of lawyers more concerned about justice than a judgeship. Dream of preachers who are concerned more about conferences than profiteering. Dream on the high road with sound values. And then America, as we go forth to September, October, November, and then beyond, America must never surrender to a high moral challenge. Do not surrender to drugs. The best drug policy is a no first use. No surrender with needles and cynicism. Let's have no first use on the one hand, or clinics on the other. Never surrender, young America. Go forward. America must never surrender to malnutrition. We can feed the hungry and clothe the naked. We must never surrender. We must go forward. We must never surrender to illiteracy. Invest in our children. Never surrender and go forward. We must never surrender to inequality. Women cannot compromise ERA, a comparable word. Women are making 60 cents on the dollar to what a man makes. Women cannot buy meat cheaper. Women cannot buy bread cheaper. Women cannot buy milk cheaper. Women deserve to get paid for the work that you do. It's right and it's fair. Don't surrender, my friends. Those who have AIDS tonight, you deserve our compassion. Even with AIDS, you must not surrender in your wheelchairs. I see you sitting here tonight in those wheelchairs. I've stayed with you. I've reached out to you across our nation. And don't you give up. I know it's tough sometimes. People look down on you. It took you a little more effort to get here tonight. And no one should look down on you, but sometimes mean people do. The only justification we have for looking down on someone is that we're going to stop and pick them up. But even in your wheelchairs, don't you give up. We cannot forget 50 years ago when our backs were against the wall, Roosevelt was in a wheelchair. I would rather have Roosevelt in a wheelchair than Reagan and Bush on a horse. Don't you surrender and don't you give up. Don't surrender and don't give up. I cannot challenge you this way. Jesse Jackson, you don't understand my situation. You'd be on television. You don't understand. I see with you with the big people. You don't understand my situation. I understand.
You see me on TV, but you don't know the me that makes me me. They wonder why does Jesse run? Because they see me running for the White House. They don't see the house I'm running from. I have a story. I wasn't always on television. Writers were not always outside my door. When I was born late one afternoon, October 8th, in Greenville, South Carolina, no writers asked my mother her name. Nobody chose to write down our address. But mama was not supposed to make it. And I was not supposed to make it. You see, I was born a teenage mother. Who was born a teenage mother? I understand. I know abandonment and people being mean to you and saying you're nothing and nobody and can never be anything. I understand. Jesse Jackson is my third name. I'm adopted. When I had no name, my grandmother gave me her name. My name was Jesse Burns till I was 12. So I wouldn't have a blank space, she gave me a name to hold me over. I understand when nobody knows your name. I understand when you have no name. I understand. I wasn't born in the hospital. Mama didn't have insurance. I was born in the bed, at house. I really do understand. Born in a three-room house, bathroom in the backyard, slop job by the bed, no hot and cold running water. I understand. Wallpaper used for decoration? No. But windbreaker? I understand. I'm a working person's person. That's why I understand you, whether you're black or white. I understand work. I was not born with a silver spoon in my mouth. I had a shovel programmed for my hand. My mother, a working woman. Some of the days she went to work early, with runs in her stockings. She knew better. But she wore runs in her stockings so that my brother and I could have matching socks and not be laughed at school. I understand. At 3 o'clock on Thanksgiving Day, we couldn't eat turkey because mama was preparing somebody else's turkey at 3 o'clock. We had to play football to entertain ourselves. And then around 6 o'clock, she would get off the after this, the bus, and we would bring up the leftovers and eat our turkey, leftovers, the carcass, the cranberries, around 8 o'clock at night. I really do understand. Every one of these funny labels they put on you, those of you who are watching this broadcast tonight in the projects, on the corners, I understand. Call you outcast, low down, you can't make it. You're nothing, you're from nobody. Subclass, underclass. When you see Jesse Jackson, when my name goes in nomination, your name goes in nomination. I was born in the slum, but the slum was not born in me. And it wasn't born in you. And you can make it. Wherever you are tonight, you can make it. Hold your head high. Stick your chest out. You can make it. It gets dark sometimes, but the morning comes. Don't you surrender. Suffering breeds character. Character breeds faith. In the end, faith will not disappoint. You must not surrender. You may or may not get there. But just know that you are qualified and you hold on and hold out. We must never surrender. America will get better and better. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. Keep hope alive. On tomorrow night and beyond. Keep hope alive. I love you very much. I love you very much.
That was, in my view, and I'll repeat this, one of the five best speeches I have ever heard by someone running for office or someone in political office. I really do think that in terms of American politicians, that is one of the five best speeches I think ever delivered. And again, you only heard, that was almost 10 minutes. So I said it would be 7. It was 10, almost 10. But I do think that that was one of the five best ever by an American running for political office or in office. Yeah, because you know why I say this? Because of what you heard there. He was speaking to you. He wasn't throwing around rhetorical flourishes the way others do. He was really speaking to you. And perhaps there were flourishes in there, but he was speaking directly to you, and you felt it. At least I did. I remember that night. I remember that night watching that. Jesse Jackson Sr., in that moment, had that crowd not only in the palm of his hand, he had that crowd in his heart, and they had him in their hearts. There's no two ways about that. If you actually watch the video of what you just heard, the video to what you just heard, you would see black people, white people, Asian people, Native people in that room, crowd shots of them, some of them crying, some of them wiping tears from their eyes, some of them absolutely awestruck, others of them with stoic faces, and still more people with big smiles on their faces. You can search this. I'm sure you'll find it on YouTube. And I know C-SPAN probably has the video to it as well. It's Jesse Jackson speaking at the DNC, Democratic National Convention, at the Omni in Atlanta on July the 20th, 1988. And by the way, you know what was also going on at that moment, or really on that day that Jesse Jackson spoke? You know what was going on that day that Jesse Jackson spoke at the Omni? The filming of Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing. And why do I bring up the filming of Spike Lee's Do the Right Thing? Because in that film, there are several references to Jesse Jackson Sr. In one scene of Do the Right Thing, when the actor John Turturro and the actor, director, and writer Spike Lee have a scene together, John Turturro's character mocks what you heard there near the very end of that excerpt from Jesse Jackson, "Keep Hope Alive." And the way that John Turturro's character was saying it was much more of a kind of a mocking of him. Even if it was mocking admiration, it was still mocking. And another thing about Do the Right Thing, which recently had its 32-year anniversary, is that there were posters of Reverend Jesse Jackson running, because that was the year that he ran, as I said, the second time around for president. And that was also the same year that Mayor Koch of New York City, because that's where Do the Right Thing was shot and takes place and was set in, said that Jewish people had to be crazy to vote for Jesse Jackson. Now look, as I've said, there are things that Jesse Jackson has said and done that, you know, that I don't agree with. Certainly he's apologized for those, but yes, you can't forget that those are the kinds of things that he has said or done. And now look, we all have to be accountable for what we say and do, and you know, and I don't exempt myself from any of that, but I'm simply saying that Reverend Jackson was featured prominently in 1988, and Do the Right Thing, which was being filmed in 1988 because it got released a year later in June of 1989, had sought smartly to put Jackson into that film in that way via some posters that you saw in the background of that film toward the end of the movie, and also through the scene early on in the film where, as I said, John Turturro's character is mocking Reverend Jackson and mimicking the Keep Hope Alive mantra, which was a huge thing for Reverend Jackson and for the United States and for all of the voters who voted for Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson, I think, won something like 16 million votes or 20 million votes during that campaign season in 1988. And I think the previous time in 84, he won a few more million than that, or maybe, I don't know. He won millions of votes. You have to understand, Reverend Jackson, and this was just 20 years after the assassination of Dr. King, Reverend Jackson was a really well-respected person and still is. And a figure who had, and he's still here, so I don't want to talk about him as if he's not here. But again, he's someone who has had great compassion and he believes in people. You don't see that very often. And you don't see it very often and think that it is genuine from persons who are running for political office. But Jesse Jackson was genuine when he ran. He exhibited and exuded genuineness, if that is such a word. He was genuine. And you could tell he electrified the crowd and they believed in his message and believed in him. And the thing is that the DNC, you know, they basically sidelined Jesse. And of course, later that Jesse Jackson would become Bernie Sanders. And that's where Bernie Sanders, you know, who endorsed him both times for those two races, that's where he got a lot of his mojo from too. I mean, these ideas didn't just start with Bernie, and quite frankly, they didn't just start with Jesse Jackson either. Progressivism has been a very important part of the United States. I know people would find that hard to believe, but it's true. And what's also true is that Reverend Jesse Jackson was at his heights in the 60s, in the 70s, and into the 80s, and into the 90s, and beyond, into the early 2000s, was one of the most well-respected leaders anywhere on the planet. Seriously. President Bill Clinton turned to him for counsel during the whole time where the sexual harassment of, and of course it wasn't called that, but that's what it was, the sexual harassment of Monica Lewinsky was being plastered over the newspapers and over the media like it was some kind of sex story. Which, I mean, in some ways it was, but my goodness, it really wasn't sex at all, was it? When the unequal balance of power inured and skewered so dramatically to President Clinton. But the person whom Bill Clinton went to and came to for counsel was Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. And Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr., who again has had his own travails, was his counsel, basically, you know, his kind of spiritual counsel, not counsel as an attorney counsel, but his spiritual counsel. And I'll never forget this. I watched this. He was at a prayer breakfast, President Bill Clinton, at the time, and Reverend Jackson had been there. And you could tell that there was a weight on Bill Clinton psychologically when he walked into that room. And again, this is all amidst this backdrop of, you know, trying to cover the harassment, sexual harassment of Monica Lewinsky as if it was some kind of sex scandal. Now, of course, for Hillary Clinton, it may have been a sex scandal, but for the rest of us, and for Monica Lewinsky specifically, it was a sexual harassment situation. And so Bill Clinton turned to Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson counseled and helped him. Then we found out about Jesse Jackson and his travails, extramarital. And then, you know, later on in the 2000s, Bill Clinton gave Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. the Presidential Medal of Freedom. It seemed like a favor had been provided back, but it was more than that because, favor or no favor, Reverend Jesse Jackson Sr. merited that alone. He merited that. His whole work, his life's work did. And he's still with us. And to see that French President Macron gave Reverend Jackson, the French Legion of Honor medal, I mean, and did so today, and did so on the 33rd anniversary of that stirring speech at the Omni before the Democratic National Convention. I mean, that just really sums it all up, doesn't it? Really does. I just kind of sit here wondering if that was all by accident. But something tells me that it wasn't necessarily at all by accident. And that speech and the portion that you heard there, I mean, it epitomized Jesse Jackson at that time. And still, his spirit is still strong. He's just, of course, when you have Parkinson's, it's another challenge for you. But Reverend Jackson, in his heyday, was a firebrand. Man, he just knew how to get in your heart in a good way. He knew how to do that with his rhetorical skill and ability and his brilliance at public speaking. And obviously, as a preacher and a reverend, I mean, obviously he certainly benefited there. But the skill and artistry to really move a crowd and electrify its conscience and spark that conscience was the thing that I really it was just a joy to behold that and to see that. And so that means everything when you've got that kind of skill. And Reverend Jackson definitely has that skill. Unfortunately, now, of course, with Parkinson's, it's a very big challenge. It's a very big challenge, as I said a few moments ago. But Reverend Jackson is still one of the greatest speakers that the United States has ever had. One of the greatest orators. And everybody talks about President Obama. And this is a point, by the way, that had been made, I think, on Roland Martin's show. President Obama, as excellent a public speaker as he is, and as moving and commanding as he can be, is not Jesse Jackson. Jesse Jackson really gave you something deeper that President Obama did not and has not. I mean, you know, and I just really want for Reverend Jackson to get the kind of credit that President Obama frequently gets. But because Reverend Jackson's progressive, it's not because of that. It's because a society that lurches to the right at every turn doesn't want to see anything like a left in this country at all. You know, Jesse Jackson's not going to get that credit. He's not. And he richly deserves it. He really does. And I think that speech gives you a taste of why he is, in my view, one of the great orators that America has ever had. And not only that, I think, as I said before, one of the five best speeches by an American who ran for office or who is in office or was in office. And, you know, there are some good ones in that company as well. But I think Reverend Jackson certainly belongs in the top five because it's one of those speeches that you just heard, and you heard just a part of it, that will really knock you for six in a good way and will make you bring you to tears, really. I want to say one other thing here before bidding you adieu. Just as Reverend Jackson alluded to in, I think, that portion of the speech I played, I want to just say to you, dear listener, to believe in yourself. And to believe in the power of you. And to believe in who you are. Validation from others is nice, but validation from yourself is the ultimate. And nobody can take that away from you. So learn to love yourself. Because you really can't love anyone else before you first love yourself. And you really can't believe in others, truly believe in them, until you first believe in you. So believe in yourself. Believe in your power. Believe that you do have power, because you do have power. And never, ever seek validation from others. Make sure you validate yourself every day by doing something positive that makes a difference. We all have that opportunity every day to make a difference in some way, shape, or form. But I really do want to say to you listening, dear listener, to please believe in who you are. If this applies to you, believe in yourself. Believe in your power. Because you've got it. You've got power. And you don't realize it. You're being told that you don't, but you do. I want you to believe in who you are. I want you to believe in yourself. And when things get rough, when things get tough, make sure you do believe in you. Because that is truly the way forward towards making a better world. And first, a better you. Thank you very much for listening to this edition of The Politocrat. I'm Omar Moore.